Book of Proverbs. We've been in Proverbs now for, this will be the fifth week, and actually just one more to go with what I planned on doing. But just being practical. And so we're going to read Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, one more time. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Let's pray. Father, as we talk about practical righteousness today, as we talk about what your word says about those who lead godly lives and a little bit about things that those who are trying to lead godly lives should avoid, Father, just open our hearts. Lord, people are watching us. They're making decisions about Jesus based on us. And Father, we need to live in a way that draws them to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't put it in the notes, but as I was thinking about this, in the New Testament, whenever we talk about righteousness, we're almost always talking about imputed righteousness. We're talking about the fact that if we come to God, acknowledge that we have sinned, ask Him to forgive us based on what Jesus did on the cross, we receive imputed righteousness and we stand before God in Jesus' righteousness. But in the book of Proverbs, it's talking about practical, righteous living. It's talking about living right, doing what God wants us to do. And I've given you that very simple thing several times already, that in Proverbs, the wise are the humble, are the righteous, and the fools are the proud, are the wicked. The characteristic that binds the humble, the wise, and the righteous together is that they accept correction and rebuke. We read in Proverbs 9:8, "Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you." Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." And we've looked at James, "Who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." So we've talked about the wise, and we've said, wise people are the ones who listen to correction, and so they increase their learning, their understanding, and their wisdom. And we've talked quite a bit about humility and how important it is to God. And humility is also a key to righteous living. Now, this is 2 Chronicles. This is talking about after the kingdom split and Rehoboam walked away from God, and God sent a prophet to him. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak, Pharaoh of Egypt. And he said to them, "This is what the Lord says, you have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak." The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just." And God heard their prayer, and Shishak did not destroy Jerusalem, but he did enough damage for them to realize that their sin hadn't gone unnoticed. So humility is the ability to admit that we're wrong, and humility leads us to accept correction. And accepting correction and teaching is what it takes to make us to be both wise and righteous. I want to talk about some of the characteristics of the righteous. Now, When we looked at humility in Proverbs, there weren't that many verses. When you look at the righteous in Proverbs, I'm only going to give you about a third of the verses. It's a topic that's all over the book. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. What righteous people say is like a fountain of life to people who desperately need to hear truth. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. It's just the opposite. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. A righteous person will say things that will help people grow in their relationship to God, will help people understand situations, will help people make right decisions. A righteous person is known for saying things that help strengthen people. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom. I've told you over and over again that these are linked. Righteous people speak things that come from their being wise, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. Righteous people know how to say things that calm things down, that get people to work together, that do other things that bring calm and peace to situations. And this one goes back to something we've talked about a lot. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The mouth of the righteous weighs its answer. Even a fool, Proverbs says, when he holds his lips, is counted as wise. And you've heard me say one of Dad's favorite sayings, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. This idea that righteous people know enough to listen, to think, to not just jump in and start talking before they know what's going on. And the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. It just flows and flows and flows. The expectation of the righteous. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Now, I'm going to say something here. I'm not going to develop it, but the Old Testament promises more in terms of wealth and prosperity than the New. And if you look at the New Testament carefully, and our supreme example is Jesus, really bad things happen to him, obviously. You look at the apostles, and Paul says God has set forth the apostles as last. And in the New Testament, there are spiritual blessings for obedience, but very often there is real sacrifice that comes in walking with God. But if you think of blessing in terms of relationships, in terms of spiritual understanding, in terms of seeing how things work and understanding what's going on, the Lord's blessing is still on the righteous. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. I like that one. People who walk with God have a future. They have hope. They have things to look forward to. What the wicked dread will overtake them. What the righteous desire will be granted. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. There were a whole lot of verses that said things similar to this. Another verse, that wealth does not deliver in a day of trouble, but righteousness delivers from death. God has a way of protecting his people in times of difficulty and in times of trial. Now, it's not 100%. I'm not going to say it is. But walking with God brings with it a certain level of protection. The prospect of the righteous is joy. I like that. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hopes of the wicked only in wrath. I will try not to be political here, but Proverbs has a lot to say about righteousness in terms of governing. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. And I don't know if you're at all into this, but I watch the political scene. I'm going to talk about foreign countries and be safe. But have you seen over and over again a dictator, and he amasses a whole bunch of money by being totally corrupt, and then there's a revolution, and then he flees for his life, and then. And I often said to myself, you know, if he'd just been satisfied to do a good job, he probably would have been king or ruler for another 20, 30 years, and he wouldn't have people trying to kill him once he wasn't the ruler anymore. Righteousness establishes a leader, and it's talking about kings here. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. When justice is done, when the righteous triumph, there is great elation. But when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. That's interesting. When you get leaders that are godly, that's a great thing, and people rejoice. When you have leaders that you know are corrupt, you're looking for a place to hide because you're not sure what's going to happen next. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. I will not comment on this one, although I much want to. When the wicked thrive, so does sin. But the righteous will see their downfall. I will make a comment. When people in authority lead ungodly lives, it promotes sin in the people they rule over. When the wicked thrive, so does sin. Now, there's just a whole bunch of other proverbs that I couldn't categorize, and like I said, I didn't list all of them. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous choose their friends carefully. There are two extremes here. There are Christians who are so afraid of being corrupted by the world, they're not in touch with the world enough to witness to it. But there are also Christians who pick friends who drag them down. And I've heard it over and over again. Tell me who a person's three or four best friends are and where they are spiritually, and I'll tell you where they will be in 5 years. There's an awful lot of truth in that. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, bad companions corrupt good morals. It's something we need to remember. The righteous choose their friends carefully. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. The psalmist says, ye who love the Lord, hate evil. Now, we think of hate as a bad thing, and ordinarily it is, but there's nothing wrong with hating sin. There's nothing wrong with hating lying. Proverbs will say, there are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven that are an abomination to him, and two out of the seven are lying. It comes up twice in that list. The righteous hate what is false. The righteous are about truth. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Or the prayer of a righteous man, in a more modern translation, is powerful and effective. God listens to people who are trying to walk with him when they pray. He makes no commitment to people who are wicked. Proverbs is interesting on the sluggard. That means a lazy person. But to get the context of the next verse, I have to read this. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Lazy people are focused on getting stuff, and they think about it all the time, but they don't do what is necessary to get it. Righteous people are generous. Generosity is a major component of being righteous. And if you read the book of Proverbs carefully, you will find that the thing most often mentioned that leads to the accumulation of wealth is generosity. Giving to God is mentioned once, but it's a lot more than that. Giving to those in need, giving to the poor, giving to the hungry. Generosity is a part of righteousness. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Righteous people get knocked down, and they get back up. And they may get knocked down a good many times, and they still get back up. Usually, when the wicked go down, they stay down. God protects his people. Doesn't mean they don't get hit. Doesn't mean they don't get hit hard. But Proverbs says they get back up again. And this is a warning. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. You know, if one of the most important things in being righteous is you take criticism, you listen to advice, you accept rebuke. Do not take that so far that you feel like you got to do what anybody tells you to do, because if you're trying to do the right thing, there are going to be people who are telling you you're doing the wrong thing, and they're coming from the wrong perspective, and you simply have to not listen to them. When I think of this, I think of King Jehoshaphat. And I probably shared this before, but he's one of the best kings that Judah ever had. But he was sick and tired of Judah and Israel going to war all the time. And so he tried to make peace with Ahab and Jezebel. And he did it by marrying his firstborn son to one of their daughters. And then when he died, his firstborn son, who was married to Athaliah, killed all his brothers to secure the throne. And then when his firstborn son died and his grandson took over, he died in God's judgment on the sins of Ahab and Jezebel. And when his grandson died, Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah, declared herself queen and ruled for 7 years in Judah. He tried to get along with the wicked, and he caused an incredible amount of grief by that one act of letting the wicked get their way. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I've been debating telling this story, but I will. We were working on the Alfred Allman Bible Church during the building program, and I'm riding in a pickup with somebody who was working on the project who came to the church, and we're going to Arkport to get some lumber in the pickup and just a couple boards, but I didn't have a pickup when I went up there, so he said, let's go get it. And so we are almost into Arkport, and there's a trooper stopping everybody to check inspections. And he sees them, steps on the brakes, makes a sudden turn to the right, goes down a road about half mile, pulls into a driveway and starts to turn around, only there's a trooper right behind him. Because the trooper thinks that what he did looked a little suspicious. And I'm sitting there saying, oh my. And he wanted our licenses, and he looked all through the truck and everything. And he didn't find anything, and he said, you know, what you did was really stupid. And then he goes, and we go on our way, and I say to him, why did you do that? He said, well, I got stuff in the back of the truck, and I don't have any proof I bought it, and I thought he would think it was stolen. And it was stuff from a junkyard, for heaven's sakes. But it illustrates something. Now, none of you guys have ever done this, but, you know, you have the light come on, and you forget to get it fixed, and then you forget to get your inspection, and then every time you drive down the road, you're staring in every which way to see if there's a trooper out there who's going to stop you and look at your sticker. Yeah. You see, when you know you've done something wrong, you're always looking over your shoulder. When your conscience is clear, you can be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. I think this goes with generosity. Godly people care about people who are hurting. They care about people who are trapped in poverty. They care about people who have needs. It's a part of being righteous. The righteous detest the dishonest. The wicked detest the upright. Guess what? Righteous and wicked people usually don't get along real well. The righteous look at the wicked and say, I don't want to get close to them. I don't want anything that they're doing to rub off on me. And the wicked look at the righteous and can't stand them. Some things to remember. One of the chief characteristics of the wise and the righteous is their willingness to humble themselves and accept rebuke and correction. Righteous people think before they speak, and their words encourage and nourish others. Righteous people can confidently expect good things to happen. That's about the first three verses in Romans chapter 5, that tribulation produces patience, and patience eventually produces hope. I didn't put all the words in there, but there's the sequence there. And that when God works in our heart and changes us, it produces the confident expectation of good. Righteous leaders endure, and people thrive under their authority. Righteous people choose their friends carefully. God listens when the righteous pray. Righteous people are generous. The righteous survive calamity, not 100%, but there is a pattern. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. Didn't know a better way to say it than that. The righteous are bold. The righteous care about the poor. Now, we've been looking at Proverbs, just talking about practical, godly living. And I hope that this is helpful, because Proverbs helps us understand people. Proverbs helps us understand ourselves. Proverbs helps us to see situations the way God does and do what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be people who humble ourselves and accept rebuke and correction when we need to. And Lord, help us to also be strong enough to stand up to evil when we must. Father, just give us your wisdom and direction in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.